Hi, this is Dougal Jeppy with Colliers International for the second of my The Office Space podcast. And my guest today is one of my favorite people, Kimberly Eberle, with Motion PR. She's the CEO and founder. Welcome, Kimberly.
Thanks, Dougal. Thanks for having me on.
So we're sitting here in our respective spaces during COVID. It's a rainy, rainy, dreary Thursday. There's no end in sight, but we're gonna make the best out of it and keep our chin up. So the podcast is about office space and everything around it, and we're calling this podcast The Tenant's Perspective. You are a company, you are a tenant in Chicago, and so. Just let's start from the beginning. I think you have a great story as far as how you started your company, but maybe you can tell us something about your background and how you got into the business and something about yourself.
Well, I appreciate it, Dougal, and thanks again for having me on. I'm happy to be part of this. As you mentioned, I own the Motion Agency, and it wasn't always my vision to own my own company. I actually worked for other marketing agencies in my life, and out of the blue, I got fired one day, March 28th, 2006. I didn't see it coming, and then I just decided and stumbled upon the joy of being an entrepreneur and started owning my own company and evolving my business from being PR over time to doing more than just PR and doing marketing services, advertising, branding, content, things like that. So, been in business over 14 years now. And my agency has gone through, I personally had a few acquisitions that I've done, buying a few other companies these last few years, which has made my office space situation a lot of fun, as Dougal knows quite well. I've had to move my office for some of those good reasons of just outgrowing your space, outgrowing the space from going from 20 people to 56 people overnight and having to change with that tide. So it's been a great ride owning my own business, and it's just very challenging right now, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how many employees do you have right now?
Right now we have 58 employees. Yeah. We have
58 employees.
55 in Chicago and 3 out of Nashville. That just works
Okay.
out of our client's office. So in our space in Chicago, we have 55. Yeah.
Okay. So when you started this business, how did you scale up and where did you how did you go about? Was it, getting the accounts first and then scaling up accordingly? And how do you manage that kind of headcount associated with the clients you have?
Yeah, so someone gave me an analogy once I thought was really great. You can build your agency by winning clients, or you could buy another agency. So for the first, gosh, maybe 9 or 10 years, I built my agency by winning new business, getting new clients, and I would just build it brick by brick, if you will. And then I would just hire staff accordingly. But then when I bought 3 agencies in the last 5 years, that automatically adds to headcount. So I guess my answer is I have a build and buy strategy with my business, and the staff usually increases accordingly, even though there's been through the years, of course, people that haven't worked out with Motion, but that's overall how it's gone.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you, as far as a female-owned business, you're one of the largest female-owned PR marketing agencies in the area, right? Or the
Yeah, that's
Midwest, or?
I think in Chicago, that's my knowledge. It's being an independent agency, which I'm independently owned. Me and other independently owned agencies have no requirement to share our revenue. But based on what I can tell of other female-owned agencies, I think we're the largest in terms of headcount that I can tell. So I believe we are the largest female-owned agency, marketing agency in the city of Chicago. I don't know about the Midwest and Milwaukee or whatnot, but we can claim one city and a big city at that, so I'm happy about that.
Absolutely,
Yeah.
where a lot of PR has been born and bred from, too.
Yeah, totally. A lot of great agencies started here and are still here, frankly. Like Edelman, of course, started in Chicago. Yeah.
And within your business, how would you describe your culture and what do you do on an ongoing basis to maintain it? How much do you have to manage it? And how does the office space either enhance it or reflect it or kind of encourage it?
Sure. So a lot of people describe our culture as a family, right? And I know you've probably heard that before, but we all feel very close with each other.
A dysfunctional family?
Sometimes. Sometimes there's a little dysfunction because, there's a couple people that might not be a great fit, but you're like, well, I can't live without this person, even though they're a little crazy. But no, we're a family and we all look out for each other. And really in this COVID-19 pandemic, I've made a commitment not to lay anybody off this whole time. And everyone's saying, I'm so glad you're keeping the family together. That's what I hear time and time again. So I'm hoping to keep everyone employed. They are now, everyone is employed. And I'm hoping we're, knock on wood, can do that as long as possible. So the thing about the culture and maintain the culture, our physical office, which I absolutely love and Dougal found for us. And I never want to leave that office if I can. It's amazing. And it really has a great collaborative environment setting to it with a big open cafe where many people gather to have lunch together, where we do all agency meetings there, or we do small entertainment there in terms of we host an event and whatnot. So the challenge of being remote, though, is hard to keep that energy and that connectivity. So what I've done, which is a challenge, is I do a daily video to my staff. And the videos can be me talking about the business end of things and how we're doing financially and our client wins, to cultural things and silly things to hopefully brighten their day and uplift them, to a spotlight on a client. We have a couple clients that are in the COVID-19 pandemic conversation by the nature of the work that they're doing. So, but every 5 days a week, I do a video to them. And then of course there's other, we have like the four C's of culture, which we're calling as we're remotely, it's creativity, giving creative programming ideas, things like that. And consistency with me doing the videos all the time. And also just consistent in our communication. And then another C we have is cheer, because we're all going through such a funky time. And I think everyone has good days and bad. So we're making a commitment to be as energetic and cheerful as possible. And the last C is collaboration, whether we're collaborating on a project remotely or collaborating on some learning and development or something like that. So we really try to keep these four C's of our culture going while we're remote.
Got it. So there were, I heard creativity, cheer, collaboration, and what was the fourth?
Consistency.
Consistency.
Yeah, there's, I don't know about you, Dougal, but when the pandemic first started, it was pretty easy to get up, have a routine, be like, all right, this isn't so bad, no problem. And now that we're going on 2 months of this, that's when, the endurance really is important. So that's why I think consistency is so important, is to have the same energy and experience and connectivity on day 60 as we did on day one,
Right.
Yeah.
And part of that's just straight up grit and discipline, right?
Oh my God, 100%. Yeah, it's really hard.
Is it, speaking of the creativity, do you think it's easier or harder? I mean, we talk a lot in our business about collaboration, and spaces have been designed to really enhance and foster collaboration. Do you, and maybe it's too early to tell, but I mean, in this environment where everyone is working from home, do you think people are more creative, and can they be as creative via Zoom meetings and in conference calls and such? Or is in-person face-to-face such a critical component? Where does that fit into creativity?
Well, I will say, I think we're doing amazing work right now remotely, for sure. I've seen some of the work that we're giving clients and I'm very impressed. But I think, for me, nothing replaces in-person collaboration and creativity and jumping off of one idea to morph it into another idea, or jumping off of a thought and, getting it to another place. We can't necessarily whiteboard an idea, like we call it, when you're remote necessarily, when you're taking one concept and, physically showing or writing words on the screen that gets it to another. So that's what I miss about, one of the many things I miss about being in the office, is I do think there's an importance to having a physical office in my field. I do. Yeah.
Before, well, let's talk about in the current environment right now, what is a typical day for you? And maybe there isn't any typical day, but what give us an idea of, I know you like to run. Are you still, doing that? Are you still consistently, eating lunch at the same
Yeah.
time, those sort of things, or what's your day like?
Well, what helps me, we all hear about how it's important to keep a good routine, and what helps me is my husband is in construction and he goes to work, he goes to a physical job site every day. So he has to be up usually very early, and I'm up pretty early. And I start my day going to the Kim gym in my building, in my house.
The Kim
The Kim
Gym
gym.
membership
Yes,
one
attendance one. Matt,
or maybe
yeah,
two.
max capacity one. So I go to the Kim. I have some kettlebells and my Kim gym, and I work out at home. And then I go for a walk with my dog. And then, come home and eat breakfast and work. And what I've noticed is I have no problem starting the work day in the sense of after I walk and work out, I'll change into work clothes. So I change it, like today I'm wearing, I mean, nothing fancy, mind you, jeans and a sweater. But what I notice is for my routine, I have a hard time ending it. I don't know about you, Dougal, but I have no, like, it's easy to get up and change. Like you said, you can brush your teeth, and that's a symbol of starting the workday. What I find is hard at 5 or 6 o'clock, like, okay, when does this end? It doesn't. I don't have anywhere to go. I'm not going out to dinner. I'm not going, I'm not going out. So what I've noticed is it's hard for me to end the workday. So I'm trying to find some rituals to end the workday, like even taking, I'm starting sometimes to take a shower at like 6 o'clock, kind of early, to be like, okay, symbolically that symbolizes to me the end of the workday. I took a shower, even if I'm wearing similar clothes or the same clothes after I take a shower. To me, I'm trying to make that a ritual to end the day. So,
Yeah, that's a good
yeah.
idea. It is, it's really challenging, especially when you walk by your office throughout the evening too.
Yeah.
I have an office in my house, but I only have one real door, and then it rest opens up into a living room, but then there's doors around it, but there's some people that come in, and it's not terribly distracting, but I do walk past it, and I heard about someone putting up a just a screen, even is a good way to do it. And I just, quite frankly, I kind of avoid that area in the
Yeah, that's
evenings and
smart. Yeah.
spend more time in the kitchen. But I think you're right. It's I've heard that from a number of people is when do you turn it off? And it's interesting. More I've spoken to a lot of people who, always have to, what day is it
Oh,
today?
all the time. All the
Oh,
time. Like, oh, this is Saturday? Well, I'm still looking at my laptop and, so yeah, it's hard.
And do you find what are you finding from your clients? Are they surviving this okay? Are they utilizing your services in the same way? Are there any areas where you see some really great opportunities in PR and marketing?
Yeah, it's a God, it's all over the place. Honestly, we represent some malls, and the malls are closed, right? So in those examples, we have a complete stoppage of work. But then we have some clients that are essential. We represent Tractor Supply Company, which is an essential retailer, and we represent Rheem, which is an HVAC system, and they are also considered essential. And I can go on and on. We have some clients that are very busy right now, frankly. But then we have this mix of clients that have either paused work or stopped work. We represent Medieval Times, for example. Those horses and knights aren't hanging out right now. there's no shows for the Medieval Times.
Where do those knights go when they get dethroned?
Good question. Good question. I don't
Knows?
know. Yeah, so I gotta say it's all over the bag. I've seen some of the work that's popular, as you might imagine, unfortunately, is crisis communication for us, right? We've got clients that have called us for, hey, we have to send announcements about closures or furloughs or something like that. And it's not a pleasant part of anybody's job, but that's some work that we've had in this time frame as well. Yeah.
And we talked earlier a little bit about your history with office
Yeah.
spaces. You you know, what, you know, when we started working together, you know, we worked on getting you into the top three floors of the LaSalle Wacker building, which ultimately was just a gorgeous space, very unique. But on three floors, very small floor plates, you outgrew that and you moved into a sublease, on Michigan Avenue. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be a fine working sublease, but the sublandlord failed to pay rent, mm-hmm. and went into default. And subsequently, you ran into some challenges as a result of that, because it trickles down to the subtenant. Mm-hmm. I know that was really stressful. And then we ultimately found you this great sublease space you're in right now, subleasing from another agency, if you will. Mm-hmm. So you've been in some different buildings. You currently have essentially two leases. You have a master lease and then a sublease. How have you approached the landlords? And I know we've talked about it and we've done some of this, but as far as rent relief, and how have they been, from your perspective, have they been responsive to rent deferment and rent relief, both your sublandlord and your landlord?
Yeah, I've had two different experiences and responses. You know, in one building, they said, okay, we can siphon off some rent relief, but we'll take it from your security deposit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was a consideration. And then the other building, really didn't pay 1 month, and we're sprinkling that payment mm-hmm. out, ideally to pay it back by the end of 2020. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, I gotta say, maybe naively, I thought going into the rent discussions, I thought, oh, maybe I can get some free months of rent. And mm-hmm. I don't know, Dougal, if there's been many companies that have had success with that, but that hasn't been my experience. You know,
there's not. Yeah. The word free is never used. It's deferred.
Right.
So yeah, I have not seen that yet. And where there could be free rent is there, if there's an extended term added on.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's where it becomes free. And then it becomes a negotiation for essentially the overall deal. But I would say from my perspective, initially I would say most landlords were at least responsive and willing to work in understanding of the situations. So it was somewhat of a pleasant surprise, because in many cases it's an adversarial situation where we're negotiating on behalf of tenants, right. But it was nice to see at least the real estate community come together a little mm-hmm. bit and try and work it out. Everyone reports to someone, whether or not you report to your shareholders or they report to their lenders. So it's a tough situation for everyone.
It really is. Yeah. And I mean, now that we have the payroll protection plan or PPP money, you know, part mm-hmm. of that is supposed to go towards rent for 8-week mm-hmm. period. So as soon as we got that, we paid the mm-hmm. rent right away. Because right. I got to say, it's painful to write a check for a space you're not using. That's painful.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Yep.
So
yep. I hear
if
you.
Anything, I think, well, the PPP program has several benefits, I believe, but that makes mm-hmm. that less uncomfortable and less painful, the rent part.
Right. Yeah. Right. I hear you. I hear you. So what are your plans to get back in the space and start working in the office? What's the plan?
Sure. I surveyed the staff this week, actually, to get a pulse on how my staff is feeling about returning to the office. Mm-hmm. And I gotta say, mm-hmm. there's still a lot of anxiety with the staff. Mm-hmm. there's about 50, maybe 60% that are anxious, 40% that are willing to give going back to work a try. And I'm actually having an interactive town hall with my staff to talk about my plans to return to work. I will say I'm not going to do anything before local government gives me the thumbs up to do so. But as soon as they do, we have a lot of research and plans and thoughts to return to the office and do so safely. You know, we're lucky to be in a building that you can take the stairs up to our floor. mm-hmm. I'm so mm-hmm. glad right now that we're in a smaller office where we don't have to, you know, of course, we're still exposed to other people and to other environments, but in general, we have five mm-hmm. floors to walk up, and many people, I think, will want to do that. So we have plans to go back to work, probably in a different phase approach. For me, my phase one is going to be optional returning back to work. Phase mm-hmm. two will be encouraging return back to work at 2 or 3 days a week. And then phase three mm-hmm. for me will be going back to work full time.
Okay.
And I don't,
Any sense of how that will roll out time-wise?
gosh, again, I can't do anything before until the government says that we can do so, you know.
Yeah.
So that's been
Yeah.
a question from a lot of my staff. You know, the concerns for my staff falls into timing, number one, cleanliness of the office, number two, proximity to other coworkers, number three, and then commuting. And, you know, commuting is something that we might actually do a transportation allowance for everybody for the first couple months. So I think there's a lot of people who have access to a car, but they prefer to take the train for financial reasons and for time. So, with this new norm that we have now, we might give some sort of allowance, or I don't know. We're trying to figure out what that dollar amount is, but some way that people feel like, okay, I can drive. It's not going to kill my pocketbook. And that might give another layer of safety and security to go back to the office.
There's the parking lots, which are empty right now for the most part, are already sending out letters saying, if you want, your spot in June, let us know. We've got waiting lists now. So it's going to be interesting how that rolls out. I think there's going to be a lot of packed parking garages for the foreseeable
Yeah,
future
I
in the
agree.
meantime. I got my Divvy renewal item and I said, oh yeah, I'm back on the
Oh yeah.
Divvy. I could ride my bike
Yeah.
around.
Totally agree.
Okay. So when you do get back to work, how do you envision if we look out a year from now, do you see us working the same way? Or do you see many changes in terms of how people are going to be interacting and utilizing the space, your space?
You know, a year from now, I hope so. You know, if I'm looking at this with rose-colored glasses, I'm hoping a year from now there is a vaccine out there that can, you know, mitigate any concerns for people who are worried about this virus. You know, if anything, I see us making some positive changes that we're going to keep going. Some changes that I've made are I do at the end of every week, I told you I do these videos. I'm doing a top 10, our top 10 moments of the week. And I've gotten such good feedback on that. It's such a great way to end the
Okay.
week that I think like that's something I'm
Yeah.
going to continue is giving ending the week with a top 10 of the week. And
Yeah.
then
Yeah.
I've done an anonymous suggestion box to the staff. You know, usually we just say, oh, email me or call me with any
Okay.
questions, but an anonymous suggestion box that people
Right.
can give us some questions. But, you know, in terms of the physical
Right.
office space, maybe I'm not. I don't know. We have more hand sanitation around the office, and maybe people will be more cognizant of cleaning up after themselves because that's always in any office I've ever been. It's like, my God, do the dishes, put your things away.
Right.
But you know, I'm maybe I'm. I don't know, Dougal. What do you think? Am I being too overly optimistic here? I'm just hoping that.
Well, I think there's a lot to be determined. I mean, there's a way of, you can put together protocols, and I think the first thing is communicating and having protocols. I mean, you obviously, you can physically reorient the desk and spacing. The challenges around the larger common areas, the conference rooms, the kitchens, how people are going to be interacting, at least for the next 6 to 12 months. And there has to be protocols. And, so for ours, for example, we're going to have masks
Yes,
initially. You will
yep,
have
I
to
have
wear a
masks
mask.
for everybody.
So that's, And then obviously all of the touchless, cleaning supplies and such. But I think once people get understanding what the protocols are, I'm hopeful that people will be good citizens and it'll actually make us more respectful, really. I mean, our kitchen is a disaster many times because people don't put away their dishes. Well, everyone's a lot more mindful of this, and I think the people who don't will probably be called out a lot
Yeah,
sooner.
I agree.
So.
I think that will be a change, and hopefully there'll be, you know, a little. I've noticed a lot more humanity happening in this whole time too, where people seem genuinely more concerned and caring and well-wishing than in the past. And I include myself in that, and I hope that that continues too.
You've always been a nice person.
Oh, but maybe deep down inside, I'm really angry. I don't
I don't want to go there. That's
That's
another
another
podcast.
podcast.
That's a
Exactly.
psychological one.
That's
Right.
funny.
Okay. All right. Well, this has been great. I appreciate it. And thanks again for being part of this. I will, of course, share it with you, and then we'll get it out on the broader networks. But this has been great, and to hear your perspective, you're in the mix. It's happening to you right now.
Thank you,
So thanks a
Dougal, so
lot.
much. I appreciate it. All right.
Okay.